I was born in the spring of 1956. That was a year after Rosa Parks refused to move to the back of the bus. I was very fortunate growing up in Southern California. My parents provided a happy childhood for my two sisters and I. Prior to starting the fourth grade, our family was among the first to move into a brand new housing development featuring mostly five-bedroom Tri-Valley homes with large yards. I was also going to a different school near my new neighborhood. Normont Elementary in Harbor City was located in what we called the projects. It was 75% black, 25% Latino, and in September of 1965, the 30 or so new kids in the school were almost all white and from the nearby fancy housing project. Less than a month after the Watts riots, this was an interesting time to be a skinny, middle-class white boy at a nearly all-black and brown school in the projects. Make no mistake, these kids were different from any I'd ever known. And I'm sure we were different than any kids they had ever known. But we soon became friends. The world was going through tumultuous times, but in the 2 years I was at Normont, we were just kids. You may not believe it, but we found a way to get along. I went to junior high school, and junior college with Normont grads, along with a wide variety of students about every ethnic type and religion. My mom said I wasn't going to school, I was going to the UN. Like most of you, I have seen and lived through a welcome and necessary improvement in the way people of all races are treated, their rights are guaranteed, and the opportunities they share. It hasn't come easy, though, I know. Think about all the things that have changed since I was born. Who we see on television, who our sports heroes are, and who our neighbors and coworkers are. During my life, Oprah Winfrey became an unprecedented influence on society. Jeremy Lin, who grew up here in the Bay Area, became the first Chinese-American basketball star in the NBA. Look at how in my lifetime, the Confederate flag's stars and bars has, for many people, changed from being a goofy hillbilly symbol on top of the careening Dukes of Hazzard car to being widely viewed as representing hate and repression. As a reporter, I covered Cesar Chavez's last fast that drew thousands to Delano and headlines around the world. I was thrilled when San Jose's Willie T. Ribbs became the first black man to race in the Indy 500, and I was at the raceway when Takuma Sato became the first Japanese driver to win. His victory was greeted with loud, enthusiastic cheers from the very Midwestern crowd. Of course, against all odds, Barack Obama was elected president not once but twice. I could go on, but, you know, these people are, of course, exceptions. For every Oprah, Barack, or Jeremy Lin, there are thousands who shared their dreams but did not have the opportunity, skills, or financial means to pursue them. There are tens of thousands more who never even dared to dream because their situations were so dire, the social and racially motivated roadblocks too high. We all know the work isn't done. It's far from perfect, and there's much more to do. There's hatred in many people's hearts, and the struggle continues. It's still a dangerous world. In his San Francisco Chronicle column this morning, former Mayor Willie Brown said race is America's overriding, unresolved issue. But in my lifetime, there's been remarkable progress. That is, until 2 years ago. You know what happened. It's been crushing, and to borrow from Lisa Fry's recent reflection, I'm livid. How can comments about inclusiveness, about being fair to all, to giving an equal chance to everyone, be swept away in a shower of noxious tweets, dog whistle comments, offensive statements, and legislation designed to keep people from voting or making their vote meaningless? Until recently, you would never argue, you would never ever hear the argument that there are some fine people marching with Nazis. But the unexpected happened in November. I worked as a precinct inspector on election day at Albany City Hall. Our own Judith Heller voted at my precinct, and so did many others of all nationalities and races. And what I want you to know is we had a line of 15 people waiting when we opened at 7 a.m. And the people were still voting at 8 p.m. when we closed. That precinct has never been so busy. People stuck in traffic got off the freeway and drove to our nearby precinct to drop off their mail-in ballots. They wanted to be sure their votes counted this time. We gave away I voted stickers in 6 different languages. I believe in Albany City Hall and many places across the country, these people were saying no We won't stand for this destructive step backwards. They said, no, we won't allow you and your cowardly cohorts to treat citizens and immigrants this way. No, we won't return to the days when someone can be ordered to the back of the bus. Unintentionally, Normont Elementary School taught me at a very young age the inherent worth and dignity of every person. Unlike the new math, that lesson of inclusiveness stuck. The voters gave me a welcome renewal of my faith that this nightmare will soon be over, and our nation will once again make its goal one of a world community with peace, liberty, and justice for all.